Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Wednesday, February, however you pronounce it, which side of town you live on. The 16th, 2022, 16 and a half minutes past the hour here. And as I said last week, the voter rolls here in Marion were being verified, petitions by the Board of Elections, and we got a copy of those, and something very interesting appeared on those petition lists that are now have now been verified by the Board of Elections. We have a longtime Marion County Commissioner incumbent, Ken Stiverson, Republican, who is running for re-election. But if you looked further down on the petition list, you saw that petitions were also verified for the office of Marion County Commissioner by Jason Schauber, who is a current city councilman, also a Republican, and Dr. Mark Davis, who is currently our coroner here in Marion County, also a Republican, which means here in about 3 months in May, we are going to have a three-way Republican primary for this position, an incumbent involved, and three office holders. It's that might be unprecedented. Somebody's going to have to look in the books and see if that's ever happened before. So today we invite Dr. Mark Davis. First time, I think, on this station. Unfortunately, we should have had him in before this. But to find out how this all happened and how we got to where we are today, Dr. Davis, so glad to have you here this morning.
Good morning, Scott. Happy to be here.
Well, we'll just start with the why. How did this all come about?
That's a great question and one that I've heard every day since I've started talking about this. People, you know, are saying why, and even why now, you know. I'll be honest, I never imagined in my wildest dreams it would be a three-way primary race. I definitely saw the two-way coming because, obviously, you know, Commissioner Stiverson and myself, we've had a chance to sit and talk about this issue. We've been friends. I've known him a long, long time. Years that I couldn't get to the fair to buy like a hog or a half a beef, you know, he would do my bidding for me, and then I would obviously write the kids their check, you know, later to pay him for their farm animal. So, you know, I've known him. I've known his family, his brother. I know him and his family well. My kids played ball with them at Pleasant. They also played some travel softball together. So this was kind of a little bit of a rough thing because, you know, I knew that we would be, you know, competing, so to speak. But the truth of the matter is I wish I would have gotten into this political stuff years ago. But I got to thinking, you know, why didn't I get into this 20 years ago? And I was busy in a medical practice. I had several ancillary businesses going at the same time. Plus, you know, having lost my wife in 2011, I was charged with, you know, taking care of two of my kids. And I thought, you know, it would have been great because I think a lot of people have that feeling inside of them, like, I want to be a public servant someday. I want to get into politics. I want to make a change. Certainly this last go-round with the general election, you know, we just saw a lot of people really get more interested in politics. There's been a lot of division in the country, Democrat versus Republican, Trump versus Biden. Everybody kind of got fired up, and even at the local level, people were saying, I want to get involved. I think I can do something better. I think I can make the streets better, traffic flow better. I can do something to attract a new business to come to town. So part of that was always kind of brewing inside of me, like, man, I wish I had a place at the table where I could have a say in this issue or make a difference. So approximately about 2 years ago, I joined the Republican Party. I became one of the treasurers for the party, and I kind of saw how this political sausage was made. And, you know, it's interesting at times. It gets heated. You know, some of it's the exact opposite. It's kind of mundane and boring and mechanical. But yet you learn from all this. Then I saw the recent group of candidates go through the election. I was involved with some of the candidates that were running for city council, and I thought, maybe I could get into this somehow. Kind of running parallel with this was my desire to get out of being the county coroner. For years and years, Dr. Camianos, he was wonderful. He did it for 20 years. I don't think we'll see another person come to many counties and repeat these 20-year terms like there have been historically. Just, you know, so much has changed in our society. So much has changed in the office. But I took over for Dr. Camianos when he relocated to Myrtle Beach, and that was like circa May, Memorial Day weekend 2018. So I've been serving as county coroner, you know, since then. Never had to go through an election, was always just reappointed by the commissioners. As I've gotten older, maybe a little sleepier, it's just hard to drag out of bed sometimes, like at 3 o'clock in the morning when you get the call from dispatch that you've got to go out on a coroner call. A very important job. Definitely you get to see a part of Marion that not everyone gets to see. And kind of what I'm referencing there is the opioid crisis that we're suffering along with many, many other communities. And also the other thing that's kind of really shocked me that I was not intimately aware with was the suicides. You know, these are all accidental deaths, kind of non-natural deaths that you go to as the coroner. And you get to see this, you get to see the heartache in the families. So to kind of, you know, get back on to your question as to why.
This is very interesting because honestly, if it's not a car accident or something like that, we don't really report. It becomes a number. Suicide and opioid deaths become a number, and they're not on the front page, and it doesn't happen like that. As a county coroner, the county coroner of Marion, how many of these things do you do? How many nights of the week are you awoken? Are there a lot of suicides in Marion, a lot of opioid deaths?
The number of fatal overdoses really is not creeping up. It's kind of marching pretty steady. If you look at 2019, 2020, 2021, the number of autopsies that we're performing is about constant. It may be up a couple, Scott, but there was one something I saw, I think, in one of the media sources that said, you know, we're really having a skyrocket, or maybe they didn't use the word skyrocket, but a significant increase in overdose deaths. Our numbers don't support that. Now, I think they get their information from law enforcement, maybe from the judicial system. I've heard different members of the drug task force say that for every fatal overdose, there's probably a factor of 7 or 8 non-fatal overdoses, people that survive, people that get the Narcan, people that are taken to the hospital, EMS is involved, or perhaps there's even some numbers we're unaware of where people are recovering at home. Just like COVID, for example, there's probably people that have had COVID, maybe even tested positive, but I had it. I did a home test kit, and you know, my numbers never got reported to any type of health department or registry. So I think that you've always got to have a thought that statistics are helpful, but there could be some factors that change those numbers that maybe even it's worse than you think, or maybe vice versa, it's not as bad as you think. So that was a little bit of background. I definitely kept looking for that physician that wanted to take over the coroner's office, and I found no one. Dr. Gingrich at the hospital, he was very, very helpful. I spoke with him. I said, if you know of a young primary care, preferably candidate that may want to live in Marion, also serve as the county coroner. I'm looking for someone to take over, because in the back of my mind, I kind of had this commissioner's race in my mind. And the timing, quite honestly, Scott, it's just right for me. For example, I could wait another 4 years for Commissioner Stiverson to be done with his term. I think I would get his full support at that point to run, but I'm going to be an empty nester. My son's graduating from Pleasant this year. My daughter, she's in her third year of pre-med up at John Carroll. So, I just really need something on a personal level to kind of soak my energy into, to take a bite out of it and really, get into something and have some passion and some energy to do a good job for Marion County.
You and Ken Stiverson, being members of the same party, and as you said, being friends, common wisdom would say, if you're going to run for an office, you must think something is not being done the way you would want it done. What, at the county level, in your opinion, needs to change?
Well, just to back up a couple of months, I kind of brought this topic up about, quote, splitting the party, so to speak, with some of the members of Central and Executive Committee within the Republican Party. And quite honestly, some of the members said, Mark, not a good idea. We really want to support one candidate. We don't want to split the party. We don't want division. From a financial standpoint, I'm going to have a self-funded campaign, so it's really not like I'm asking the Republican Party for any financial support on this. We've already, scheduled some campaign fundraising type of events on our own. It created, and probably to this day, I don't know who maybe sometimes supports me and doesn't support me. What I'm finding is people are typically loyal to an incumbent, and I understand that. But I also feel like when it's your turn to vote, whether you're voting at a polling place, voting from home, by absentee, or whatever method you choose to vote, you can vote for whoever you want. I think there is this, even though I don't feel that I'm a younger person, I'm 59 years old, Scott, I think there is a feeling amongst some of my fellow Republicans, and certainly within my campaign following, that a little bit more youthful energy into the office of commissioner is certainly not going to be a bad thing. And in no way do I want to say anything negative about any three of the current commissioners. They've served. I know things they've done that make me very proud of who they are and what they do, both inside the office and outside, through community service, through their churches. But again, I just got the deep down, I come across as kind of a nice guy, but deep down I'm a bulldog. If I get a hold of an issue that I'm passionate about, I really want to work it through to its conclusion. Even if there's controversy involved, I'm willing to break a sweat. I think I've proved that, in the coroner's office. I'm not opposed to hands-on helping out with whatever needs to be done. So big glaring deficiencies within the office, I don't think we'll find that. Has money been spent incorrectly? No. Has there been policies that are just horrid? No. I think it's some of this you're limited by the revised code. You look up what are the duties of the county commissioner, and you think, well, gosh, that doesn't sound too exciting. You maintain ditches and you take care of all the county property within the the county, all the buildings, all the facilities, the vehicles. That's not the exciting part. I think what I can bring specifically is be an influencer. Influence things that are going on here locally. Team build. I just heard an excellent presentation about 2 weeks ago from Luke Henry, who was giving us a report on what's happening downtown with new businesses, new restaurants, some of his plans to move the downtown area forward. I know that there's a limited role for the county commissioners in that, but I think we've got to have an idea that we're more in this together. Historically, you know, I haven't seen a lot of reaching across the street to City Hall and shaking hands with some of our Democratic brothers across the street. I'll be honest, and you know, this may not be popular to all of my constituents, but I'm going to reach my hand across the street and shake the hand of city government and say, let's think about doing some stuff together.
This is an interesting point. Locally, honestly, and being here in Marion for quite a while now and covering the political scene, if you would have asked me 10 years ago, locally, do the R and the D beside somebody's name matter, I would have told you no. We had a mixture everywhere. At that time, the sheriff was a Democrat. You had one or two Democratic county commissioners and one vice versa. Same thing with city council. It was a mixture. Since 2016, it matters. You can check the voting on almost every election, and from the state offices down in Marion County, you will almost see a uniform voting for the R and the D. Now, in Ohio, that's been very good for the R's. All the county commissioners are Republican. The sheriff's Republican. The Republicans control city council at this point. Prosecutor's Republican. Is that, obviously being a Republican, that's a happy thing, but is that good for a city?
Great question. You know, I think about, you know, where have we seen cooperation? Where have we seen the potential to do something, regardless of maybe one party having a majority or not? And I kind of think back about 10 years ago. Actually, maybe a little bit longer than 10 years ago, like 2010, there was a study done about combining city, county, fire, and EMS. And this was supported by the Chamber of Commerce. I think the United Way maybe was involved with some of this, maybe paying for this project. And I actually was able to get a copy of that because I wanted to revisit that idea because... And we can get into that if we have time, but I think there's still a missed opportunity, and it never happened. There was this motivation, this enthusiasm for Marion City, Marion Township, and then Pleasant, First Consolidated, a lot of the peripheral fire department, EMS, to kind of create a county-wide system that would be better, share resources, maybe lower cost. You know, we only have a finite number of firefighters and EMTs in the county, and the way they're distributed is really what's, you know, kind of the issue. Right here where we sit, we're in a very resource-heavy environment for fire and EMS, very well protected. You kind of get out to where I live, out towards Big Island Township, west side of the county. It's not a resource-rich environment. A lot of it is dependent upon availability of a private ambulance service. A lot of it is dependent upon availability of volunteer firefighters. And volunteer anything is on its decline in this country. You know, I've been up to a couple fire meetings lately, like up in Morrill, and Chief Spicer shares, "Doc, we need more people. We need young people." You know, they don't really want the guys my age and older. You know, they want the younger guys because it's a hard job. Very physical, whether you're providing, you know, help at an auto accident or a fire or a medical emergency. They need young people with good training. So that's kind of an example of something that if I get elected commissioner, that's something that we will revisit. The county's got a fire chiefs association where the chiefs get together. And it really doesn't have to be political at all. Doesn't have to be Democrat, doesn't have to be Republican. It's just something that really is for the betterment of the community.
Interestingly enough, not that these were the three major issues affecting everybody's life, but over the last year to year and a half, there have been three big issues in Marion that certainly have grabbed all the headlines, And on this show, and this is why I don't feel it's political, the mayor has been on and spoke about it. City councilmen, both Republican and Democrat, have been on. The prosecutor, Ray Grogan, has been on. But none of the county commissioners, even the sheriff, both sheriffs, by the way, Bailey and Bales, both have spoken about all these issues. The county commissioners, to my knowledge, and if I'm wrong, somebody pointed out to me, never spoke or took any stance on any three, and I'm just going to run them by you. And you tell me what your thoughts were on these issues, and the first one was Judge Warner. I don't think there was ever a resignation call from any county commissioner or support given, whatever they would have wanted to do. What did you make of that?
It's very good question, Scott. You know, when you were talking, I was thinking in my mind how we got to clean up our own business. You know, there have been embarrassing events happen within our own party that we need to own it. We need to make a statement on it. For me, that personally, that was a tough one. For Jason and Julia, that was tough. You know, I'm a Christian man, and you know, when I first found out about this, even though I understood the gravity of the crime and the potential harm to that other individual in the accident, I still had compassion and humanity for Jason and Julia. I sent them a note right away saying that no matter what, you know, they still were in God's good graces, and that they still had people that loved them and would support them. And if they had to go to prison, when they got out of prison, there would be people that would welcome them back into our community somehow. So that was a tough one for me on a personal level. You know, having known them, you know, outside of their professional duties.
Should the commissioners have said something? To my knowledge, I don't think they did.
I think so, and that also just dovetails into the way we communicate as a body of elected officials. For example, just as a challenge to the listeners, try to find out what happened at a recent commissioners meeting. Try to find out where, I think you can get some general information online about how much we're spending a year as a county. You know, it's right around $25 million. But you got to specifically find out how much money is going to the sheriff, how much money is going to the engineer's office. It's just, I think it should be a little bit easier to find that type of information. Now, they're wonderful. If you go in and request the information, you know, we've all been schooled on Freedom of Information Act and, you know, public access to records. That's not a problem. They're very good about creating like a thumb drive or a PDF or an Excel spreadsheet if you want information. But I think, you know, part of this just needs to be more frequent press releases from the commissioner's office.
The other issue, and it was late last year, and again, this is a city position. You know where I'm going with this, I'm sure. But again, there was nothing, no comment, to my knowledge, from the county commissioners involving the resignation of the city auditor last year. What was your take on that?
My take on that is there were a lot of good intentions. We tried to, you know, save Robert Landon. I think one life preserver after another was thrown, and, you know, should we have, you know, earlier on just declared this unsalvageable? Looking back, probably yes.
That situation was interesting, and I want to move on to the third one because it's medical, and it's a very important one. That was interesting from the perspective that press releases were coming from Robert Landon, and I'm never really, there was never really, were they from the Republican Party? Were they from him? It was very confusing there toward the end. The last month of his tenure was a very, whether you agree with him or disagreed with him, it was tumultuous in government here in town. That being said, even though that's not a county position, should the commissioners have said nothing?
Well, you're right, Scott. I mean, Robert was a Robert Landon is a very articulate man. He uses words. He uses his spiritual faith, and he really stood up a lot for himself. He put out a lot of information into social media, into more or less defending himself, and that was running concurrently with maybe what the Republican Party was saying, and there were all kind of voices at the time kind of making it really unclear what everyone's intentions was. But part of I think what we saw was just Robert being so verbose himself. You know, he just didn't sometimes I think where a pause could have been taken, there wasn't a pause. You know, it was this constant back and forth. And you know, I talked very briefly with Mayor Searcher about this, and you know, he was also very reluctant at times to take a pause. He kept, you know, I kind of likened this to maybe like a prize fight where both people were throwing punches. You know, admittedly, the mayor said, you know, if he had the ability to keep throwing some punches to make some political hay, he was going to do it. And I understand that to a sense. But again, you know, as you kind of referenced with one of your questions before, really, what's in the best interest of our citizens? And yes, I think even though that was a city position, I think, at least the way I see it, I feel like the commissioners are really the leaders of the county, leaders within the Republican Party.
Well, and again, and I'm not making an inference here in either one of these cases, Judge Warner or the auditor, Auditor Landon, that the statement had to be resign. It could have been anything. We just didn't hear anything.
Correct.
From the county commissioners. That, I think, was what was odd about and maybe most odd of all, some people see this politically, the pandemic. The first week of the pandemic, the mayor came on. The health commissioner came on, the sheriff, then Bailey, came on, the prosecutor, Ray Grogan, was on. They all issued statements. It was the issue of our time that affected more people directly than maybe other issue, and maybe still does. I don't know to this day that I've heard the county commissioners say anything, any of them.
Right.
How can that be? Maybe even more than those other two issues.
I think it's a missed opportunity, Scott. To think that maybe you don't have a dog in the fight is probably not correct. Leadership is sometimes you've either got it or you don't. I've done some reading on, are leaders born, or do leaders you know kind of create themselves, or are they kind of created by the circumstances that happen in their lives? You know, that whole thing of nature versus nurture. So it's interesting when you think about leadership and how people perceive it. And I'll tell you, it's perceived differently by everyone in public service. Every politician feels different about what they consider their duty, their responsibility. And I'll be honest, this COVID thing, it's easy to sit back and say it was a mess or this place should have done that, but there were so many shifting things during COVID. Health department, at times I thought they were shining, at times I thought they were lagging behind. Our local hospital, there were times where I thought they were leading us all. Then there were times that, wait a minute, what do you mean I can't get a test? What do you mean you're no longer giving vaccines? What do you mean you don't have a 1-800 number I can call to get information? So I think specifically with regards to COVID, there were opportunities for many agencies, public health, hospitals. Now everything seems to be pushed on the poor pharmacies. Go to the pharmacy to get your test kit. Go to the pharmacy to get your vaccine, to get your booster. But yes, no, I agree with what you're saying. That was a major public health emergency. I think the commissioner's office really should have been on top of it as well.
When it comes to COVID, all political offices, for better or worse, come down to a popularity contest. You have to get whoever draws the most votes gets the office.
Yes.
In a county that is just now 50% vaccinated, do you think this is why not just the commissioners, but a lot of people, and not to say every politician has stayed away from it, because they haven't, but why a lot of people have stayed away from it in Marion County?
You mean in terms of not wanting to
that
be on one side of the mandate or the other?
A lot of politicians see this as a very unpopular issue to say, get vaccinated, wear a mask,
right.
So on and so forth.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting you said that. I'm trying to think what venue I was recently in. Maybe I shouldn't say what venue it was, but it was interesting because when I looked around the room, and, you know, this is going to sound maybe too simplistic, Scott, but I thought to myself, there's more Democrats in this room wearing masks and more Republicans without masks than what it was just obvious to me. And I haven't really replicated that in a lot of other forms, but at that one particular event, it certainly struck me that way.
Being a Republican doctor, What is your feeling on the pandemic? People are still dealing with this thing.
Right.
It's not gone.
No, definitely not gone. And I'll be honest, I'm shocked at still the number of people that are working from home. I've got some businesses that I do on the side, and I kind of interact with a number of state employees in Columbus, and they're still working from home. And I was really shocked by that they haven't been back to the office yet. And it just kind of struck me as wrong. Personally, I feel like I'm not opposed right now of myself walking into Kroger's or Walmart or Meijer's without a mask. I had both vaccines. I had COVID in early December. Thank God it was a very mild experience. You know, I felt very lucky, very blessed to get through COVID within just a couple of days of symptoms. I'm still in that 90-day period where my antibodies are supposed to be surging still. My brother, he's a physician. He's kind of beat me up and said, Mark, as soon as you can get the booster, get the booster, despite the fact that you've had the vaccine, that you had natural immunity from having COVID, get the booster. My thought on that, Scott, is if I get the booster in 6 months, I have a feeling he's going to be back yelling at me again to get the fourth shot. Because I really feel like next flu season, and I don't know what they've got planned, but I really feel like, you know, we're not even going to be out of this next year when it comes September, October of 22. And that's what I mean by next year, next flu season. I think we're still going to be up against, yeah, you've got to get vaccinated for influenza, but we also want you to take something else for COVID again, too.
There's another ripple in this commissioner's race that we would be remiss if we didn't talk about. We have another official, current office holder here in Marion, Republic, also running in this primary, which makes it really unprecedented. Jason Schauber, current city councilman. And honestly, from what I am told and from what I have seen, right now he is probably considered in the city, county, / both of those, the most moderate Republican office holder, that he endorsed a Democrat on city council last election, that in that whole auditor swirl, he seemed to take a different stance than the rest of the Republican Party did, which is maybe why he's running for this. I guess we'll have him on and find out at some point. But what do you make of Jason?
To be honest, Scott, I've never met Jason Schauber. I know him because, you know, I know what he looks like. I think either him or I friended one another on Facebook, but he doesn't look like he's very active on his Facebook page, so I haven't really seen much from him. Just a couple of nights ago, I put my group page together for my campaign, you know, just wanting to be able to get information out to the voter, get information out to people that I consider like my inner circle. But I really don't have an opinion on Jason. I know he's part of our party. I haven't seen him at one of our Republican Club meetings for, I'll be honest, the entire time that I've really been coming to meetings.
Just the public things that we know about him, which I think are what probably most of the people know him by. What have you made of his choices as a Republican identified official?
It's a good question. I think he probably has maybe some objection to labels, and I kind of feel the same way. Even our chairman, Bob Schultz, has said many times, Republican it's a label, it's a party, it's an organization, but the people, most of the people that I see in Marion, really what they are is they're conservatives, they have a Christian outlook on life. They've but yet they even myself personally, a lot of my social policies that I would think about really are more leftward leaning, especially health, human services, the more compassionate part of public service would be considered by some a little leftward leaning, but yet I identify as the core as a Republican. But within each party, I think there's going to be a spectrum of where you fit on that definition of Republican. If I had to guess, Jason's going to be kind of towards a couple standard deviations out on, the definition of a Republican.
We are less than 3 months away from this primary. It's going to come very quick. We have three Republicans who are office holders who most people in this county probably are going to recognize the names, which makes this very interesting. Also, a primary is closed. You are only going to have self-identified Republicans voting in this primary. And on top of that, primaries don't have great turnouts.
Right.
Now, this year, that could be different because we have a gubernatorial primary on the Republican side, which may turn out more Republican voters to a primary. We'll find that out in May, I guess. Tends to be older, more affluent people who vote in a primary. Those are the statistics I've seen in Marion County. Do you think you can turn out the majority of that group in May?
That that is something that I think about every day, Scott. May 3rd, I hear people saying it's not going to be May 3rd, it could be June 7th. That kind of concerns me. Seeing the 20% voter turnout for the last election that just elected our new city council, 20% of the voters. Right now, I'm focusing on new voters, young voters. I'm using my son as an example. He just turned 18. He's registered to vote. He's got the selective service thing. I said, why don't you rally the young people to vote for me? Because they can vote in a primary. If they've never voted before, you can walk in, ask for a Republican ballot, and vote for me in May. Yes, turning some of the loyal older voters, they're going to be very loyal to Kenny Stiverson. I understand that, especially Clarendon Township and his stomping grounds. I get that. It's a challenge. How do you distinguish yourself in a 3 month period? Like you said, maybe I could draft a little bit on some of the new alternative Republican votes that would be going to Joe Blystone. I think Blystone's going to get people out to the primary that traditionally may not have turned out for the primary. As a mindset, I'm assuming they may want an alternative candidate. Hopefully, I can be that alternative candidate for the office of commissioner.
Especially in a local community for a local office in Marion, if you look at it, people from medicine do tend to do well. And I've always thought the reason for that is they have a practice. They have patients. And obviously, if you have patients, your patients, I assume, like you, or why else they wouldn't be your patients.
Right.
They might vote for you, and that turns out a big voting base. That's a built-in voting base. Not that you became a doctor to get that voting base, but it's there.
Yes.
And that helps. Do you think that will help you?
I do. I retired from private practice April of 2020, and I think at our height, we probably had about 8,000 active patients in my practice. On average, the American Academy of Family Practice recommends each family doc have about 2,500 full-time patients in their practice, and we were serving 8,000. Not myself, you know, I did have mid-level providers like nurse practitioners. Also, if we've got time, Scott, just to catch you up on one breaking development from yesterday, I actually passed on the baton to a new county coroner.
Oh, really?
Yes. I was able to find Dr. Gary Burton. He's been working in our office observing, kind of a little on-the-job training, so to speak. But he was sworn in yesterday by Judge Fergale as our new Marion County coroner.
How about that?
So I've moved to the position of deputy coroner. I've already committed to cover him some of his vacation days. I think he's got a golf trip coming up in March, which I want him to take and enjoy. But now I can focus 100% of my energies on the campaign.
Even though there is an incumbent, even though it is a three-way race, we know that now, even though it is less than 3 months away, how confident are you, percentage-wise, that you can pull this off?
At first, I wasn't confident at all. But since I've kind of, let me step back for just a minute. I don't know if you were talking about it or maybe something else I was hearing playing in the background talked about Wednesday. Last Wednesday was the day that the Board of Elections certified the candidates. I kind of told myself, Mark, don't get your hopes up. I said, anything could go wrong. Maybe your petitions could get rejected. Maybe you messed up the paperwork somehow. I had some friends that were experienced look at it, but still there was that paranoia on my part. Did I not do something right? So once the Board of Elections said, you're an official candidate, then I said, yes, now I can go into campaign mode. I can start being more vocal. I can get letters sent out. Like that night, Wednesday night, I went to the post office and mailed 200 letters out to friends, fellow Republicans, you know, just kind of stating, you know, I'm in the game. I created the Facebook page. You're going to get sick of seeing my face around town on billboards, on signs. But it's time to start campaigning and coming out. So I don't know if I can give you a percentage, Scott, but I am a lot more confident with the feedback that I'm getting. Some very, very kind comments from people about, you know, we believe in you. We trust you. We know you're a compassionate person that can really succeed in this. Go out and get it. Go get it, Doc.
The Republican Party is very strong here in Marion right now. Very, very strong. A lot of office holders. Do you think they will endorse? Have they endorsed in this three-way race?
I haven't heard any endorsements as of yet. I think it'd be difficult for the party itself to endorse one candidate over another. But, you know, I'm a roll with the punches kind of guy. If I succeed, great. If I don't succeed, I'm still going to be involved in the community. I won't quit the Republican Party. In 2 years, we've got two more commissioners up for re-election. So there's opportunities for people that want to get involved. And I would encourage the listeners, please get involved. Democrat, independent, Republican, please vote. You know, we have to have that as a basis of our democracy here. You know?
Final question here with about a minute left. What can you bring to this office that is currently not in this office?
Great point. Number one, opioid crisis. Everybody wants to do something about the opioid crisis. The problem is we're not moving the ball forward. We have to work even harder to make a dent in opioids. Number two, small business. We can want small businesses to come. We can pray that they come. We can try to encourage them. We have to create a Marion in terms of human resources, in terms of utilities and services that make businesses feel welcome here. Number three, team building in everything we do. We've talked about the COVID crisis and maybe some missed opportunities for leadership, but every chance that we have to be a leader, to get out in front and serve, we have to take that opportunity.
10 seconds. Is there any, I don't want to say anger, but is there any uncomfortableness right now in the Republican Party having an incumbent be primaried?
No, it really seems like there should be, but there's really not, Scott. I'm still going to all the meetings, participating in events. We've got a fundraiser coming up for our building that I'm actively involved with. I haven't had one person treat me ill within the party over this candidacy at all.
Do want to remind everybody that the guest this hour has been Dr. Mark Davis. Now, I should say, is it former Marion County Coroner,
yes.
Coroner now? Former Marion County Coroner within the last 24 hours, Dr. Gary Burton is your new Marion County Coroner, sworn in by Dr. Davis here. Dr. Davis is now running for commissioner here in Marion County. He will face a three-way primary in the Republican Party with incumbent Commissioner Ken Stiverson and City Councilman Jason Schauber. And I do want to let the audience know we did and have invited Jason Schauber and Ken Stiverson on for equal time. So anytime they would like to come on, we will be glad to have them on here on the station. And we're going to have Dr. Davis back because there's a lot we didn't cover medically, and there's just more things to talk about in the county. So Dr. Davis, I'm going to have you back. I'm going to be calling again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Davis. Glenn Coble is going to join us here in about 15 minutes. Stay tuned.
15 on Sunday mornings, we have the message from Community Christian Fellowship, and that plays live on Sunday morning at 12:15. Also, we'd like to let you know that we invite you and would love to have you come to the church. We are a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church that is very, very much focused on outreach and reaching outside of the church and loving those around us. Our service times are at 10:30. On Sunday morning, and Bible school hours at 9:30. We have midweek services, a lot of kids programs, and yeah, I just invite you to really come and get plugged in. We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, and our phone number there is 740-494-2222. If you call and leave me a message, I promise I'll get back with you. God bless everybody. Have a good day, and we'll hear you as you call in and have some questions for us on the radio, and invite you to do that all the time at 740-383-9944.
The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.